The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Enjoying life. Thank you very much. A nice warm day in Israel. They reckon that it's going to be in the high 30s and early 40s or even the mid 40s. 45 degrees, I think, in Eilat today. One day heat wave across Israel. It's already now at this hour 34 degrees outside. Oh. So it looks like we are gearing up for what's going to be a fairly warm day. People are being warned to stay indoors and not go out on hikes and drink lots of water. So lots of warnings out there for the one-day heat wave that we're about to experience here today.
Anthony, let's talk about Leah Golden. She's a bereaved mother. She's been highly critical of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following a meeting yesterday with him that reduced her to tears. So just give us the background to this.
So this was a meeting that was held with the parents of the two IDF soldiers whose bodies are being held by Hamas following Operation Protective Edge. This is, of course, Leah Golden, whose son Hadar is one of those. And, of course, the parents of Oron Shaul, they were also at the meeting. Those are the two bodies that are being held by Hamas. And also in attendance at this meeting yesterday were relatives of Avera Mengistu and Hisham Al-Sayed, who are two mentally ill Israeli citizens who are also somewhere in Gaza, apparently having been captured by Hamas. These four Israeli citizens are the subject of a great deal of debate about how they can be repatriated to Israel. Two live individuals and two dead bodies, as we understand it, the two IDF soldiers. And of course, the Prime Minister decided yesterday to hold this meeting with the relatives of those four individuals ahead of the 5-year anniversary since Operation Protective Edge, which is due to take place next week, later this week, early next week. The 20th of July is actually when the operation is kind of commemorated, the date in the Gregorian calendar. And of course, the parents of Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, as well as the family members of Avera and Hisham, all claim that the government is really not doing enough to get those individuals back, to get the bodies back. And in fact, it goes further than that, because in recent days and weeks, we've seen quite a lot of action in terms of releasing, being a little bit more accommodating towards Hamas, towards Gaza in general, giving concessions, because there is the view that as far as the Egyptian intervention has been concerned, it's really resulted in, for want of a better term, better behavior from Hamas. There have been less attacks. There have been less incendiary devices being sent over by balloons. There have been less clashes along the border, where they've been having the Friday protests now for more than a year. In general, there's been much more calm along the Gaza border, as a result of which the Israeli government is very much inclined to make concessions. And the family members of those four individuals are saying that the Israeli government should make no concessions until the two bodies and the two individuals are returned to Israel. And I think that this is really the thing that reduced Leah Golden to tears yesterday, because along with whatever was offered by the Prime Minister at that meeting in terms of support and trying to encourage the families, he offered to send them on a trip to New York in order to make their case at the UN headquarters. And the families were quite insulted by this offer, because they felt that this was just an attempt to kind of cover over the main issue, to try and make the families feel like something active is being done, like they're making some sort of a difference by going to the UN headquarters to make their case. But in fact, the families were quite affronted by this and quite insulted, saying that going to the UN doesn't help anything. In fact, some of them have already done it before of their own accord. They didn't need the Israeli government to help them do it. They've been fighting for the return of their loved ones already for many years. And Leah Golden in particular was highly insulted by this, And she left the meeting early in tears and was very critical of the Prime Minister's actions. So these families are really still putting a lot of pressure on the government not to make those concessions to Hamas, not to make the concessions to Gaza, but to insist that until such time as the bodies of those two soldiers and those two individuals are released, no concessions should be made, and that's the view that they hold. And I can understand why Leah Golden would have been very upset by the meeting that she held with the Prime Minister yesterday, because as far as she's concerned, there doesn't seem to be enough progress at the governmental level in order to squeeze Hamas to release the body of her son.
Anthony, apparently President Reuven Rivlin has been on an official visit to South Korea. What is the agenda of the visit? And does it signify warming ties, or what's going on?
Well, Israel and South Korea have had diplomatic relations already for some 50 years, since 1962. They've been with official diplomatic relations, and in fact, there's been an Israeli embassy in Seoul since 1992. So these are two countries that already have good relations and have good trading relations. So it comes as no surprise that President Rivlin was very much welcomed when he landed in Seoul early this week for a four-day visit. And the whole idea is to discuss ties between the two countries, particularly in the fields of energy and education. That seems to have been the progress. Two memorandums of understandings were being signed to cover those particular fields. But of course, Korea is quite well known for its innovation, for some of its technology, and therefore it has a lot in common with Israel in that particular area. And certainly the South Koreans respect Israel's situation in terms of how high tech has been developed in Israel, and some of the democratic and economic values that have been developed in Israel. And the South Korean president Moon Jae-in actually said that when the two leaders met in Seoul. And President Rivlin was, of course, also welcomed, had an official dinner. And it also prompted Prime Minister Netanyahu to make a statement saying that he's hoping to also have a chance to visit South Korea within the next 6 to 12 months. He also has an interest to try to progress things. Interestingly, 2018 was a year that was a record for Korean visitors coming to Israel, Korean tourists visiting Israel. But of course, as far as the Israeli tourism industry is concerned, there's still a long way to go. There's still many, many more Koreans who could potentially be encouraged to visit Israel. And so that's certainly going to be one of the issues on the agenda. And, you know, this whole notion of Israel as a startup nation and with one of the most startups in the world per capita is something that the Koreans definitely respect and wish to emulate. And just by the way, you know, as a coincidence, the Israeli synchronized swimming team managed to make the finals of an international competition that's being held in South Korea. Unfortunately, President Rivlin will not be able to attend the final himself. But it just happened to be at the same time. And while President Rivlin was there, South Korea said it was purchasing two very advanced radar systems from Israel in order to improve its ability to detect incoming missiles. Like Israel, South Korea obviously has a security issue along that Korean border with North Korea. There's a lot of tension along that border. And of course, to the extent that Israel has interesting military hardware that the South Koreans might wish to purchase, there's been a lot of discussion about that too.
And then you have a very good news story you're going to talk to us about, an Israeli device that is designed to relieve migraine pains, apparently been approved for use in Europe. How does the device work?
So yeah, I like this story because this is a device that's been patented by a Netanya-based company called NeuroRelief. And this is a kind of a brain neuromodulation device. It's like a band that goes around your head, okay, and that it transmits electric signals. And apparently as part of that effort, it can actually stop migraine pain. And this has been approved by the European Commission for Pharmaceuticals for use in the European countries which that particular body covers. And apparently these electric currents get transmitted to the brain. It stimulates six major nerve branches throughout the head. And apparently this is going to be able somehow to relieve the effects of people who suffer from headaches, including migraines. And I'm told that the way that the device is actually controlled is via a phone app You can put an app on your phone and that links to your device, and you can somehow control the way that the devices work. Apparently, it can really focus in on the areas of pain in the head. Some people suffer from pain only on one side of the head. Some of the pain, some of these side effects can be as bad as being nauseous and weak and sensitive to light and sound. And so the idea is that this neuro relief device will address the pain that's being suffered by so many of these people. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how successful this is. I mean, the actual device itself seems quite strange. You know, it's like a headband that goes around the head. And so it's not necessarily something that you want to go walking around with on your daily activities. But if you're suffering so badly that you're kind of confined to being at home, then it's certainly something that you can wear while you're at home and activate it in order to try somehow to help you with that head pain, and particularly with migraine pain. So it's just another Israeli medical device that's come out of the system. And it'll just be interesting to see how successful it will be. You know, the irony is that this device is not yet available in Israel, but apparently it will be available in Israel during the course of next year. And so hopefully we will see another Israeli device being put to good use to relieve people of something which is a very serious problem. And really incapacitates many people because of the pain that it causes them.
It's incredible. Pain has actually become another plague, where everything is about pain and pain clinics, and it's causing huge, huge issues. I was actually watching a documentary about oxycodone and how incredibly addictive it is.
What is that, a drug?
It's a drug, yeah. It's an opiate.
Kathy, I used to have migraine issues, and I've got to tell you, I thought God invented migraines to make you not fear death, because you just wanted to die. It was that awful. So if this is in fact true, and this device can do what Anthony's saying it's going to do, what an incredible, incredible thing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how effective it is. I mean, the problem, of course, with many of these devices is that they come out with a big fanfare, and, you know, they're very, very high expectations. And then ultimately, one discovers over time that they have all kinds of side effects and things like that. So obviously,
like
we'll have to wait and see how that goes ahead. But for now, at least, the results of the tests that have been done, the various medical tests that have been done on this have been quite positive. So, you know, we're hopeful for migraine sufferers like you and others who've had to, you know, suffer not only from migraine but other neuropsychiatric disorders, that this is going to be something that could definitely help them.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And you can catch up with Anthony this afternoon at 20 past 4.